Life Audio.
What's up, Happy Rant listeners? Ted Cluck here. I want to talk about Christmas. You know how I know it's Christmas time? Because Ronnie Martin has tweeted about it like 35 times already today. But I want to talk about Christmas shopping, and specifically at a website called thehappyrant.com/shop. Yes, that is our show's website. Thehappyrant.com/shop is where you can find notebooks, t-shirts, tote bags, canvas tote bags, ones that make you look smug and elite. T-shirts that say Elite Man of the People, C-List Celeb, Baby You're So Money, and Until Next Time. You can find all your Happy Rant merch, your t-shirts, your fanny packs, the old school classic Speak Softly and Carry a Megaphone t-shirt, all at thehappyrant.com/shop. Log on, grab some merch for the Happy Rant fans in your life. And remember to order by December 12th so that everything gets there by Christmas. Again, the website is thehappyrant.com/shop. Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, we got a hot topic, a scalding hot topic this morning. One that's been burning the internet to the ground, so to speak. And it's the topic of...
If only,
I know it, right? That's a little aspirational talk there, but... the topic, boys, is what to do when Christmas Day is a Sunday morning. There's been a lot of pastor, husband, father types debating this for days. And we get to do it here on the program. We get to give the last word on it because we have our own radio show. And we're the kind of guys who like giving last words on things. And we got two pastors. So at risk of turning this into the Art of Pastoring podcast, shout out the Art of Pastoring, RIP. We're gonna dial that kind of vibe up again and address this topic right after this quick break.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Okay, boys, we're back. We paid some bills, theoretically, during that ad break. And maybe theoretically we'll get paid. But before then, we got a big topic to discuss. And that is what to do, what you're going to do when Sunday morning coincides with Christmas Day. Big deal, dude. Bit of a deal. Let's start with you, boys. There's two men of the cloth on this program and one... myself, who is not. So, Big R, you have very deftly over the course of the past decade really kind of positioned yourself as Christmas man. And being Christmas man, it's not just a bunch of, enchanted, strolls through the Winterberry Patch, dude. Sometimes you gotta take up that cross, baby, if you know what I mean. And you gotta lean into some of these hard issues.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, I know, dude. I know that that Christmas man isn't just a lark. You know what I mean? It's not all scones and puppy dogs and ice cream. So what are you doing about this Sunday morning deal, baby?
Yeah, man. It comes up every 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
And but I felt like it got a little brutal this year, you know.
Okay. Talk about that.
I realized, like, well, it's weird because I'm in some of these I'm in some of these group text chats, you know, with other pastors, and you know, I remember the first, this was like a month and a half ago, and one guy goes, "All right, who's the jerk that's going to have a Christmas service on Christmas morning this year?" And everybody's like, "Oh yeah, not me. No, never going to happen. That's crazy. Going to be home in my PJs,
dude,
opening presents,
really
cinnamon rolls."
I guess
snowflakes.
I guess that surprises me. All right, let me just say this: I would totally have church. I guess that just seems normal to me. I guess I don't understand the other side, but. Yeah, suss it out. I'm sorry. I stepped on your thing.
Surprised.
That's all
right. So I was the guy that put up the emoji of like, I'm the guy raising my hand, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, cause we're doing a service, you know, on Christmas morning.
Good for you.
So it's weird to me. I think I get the complications that come into it depending mm-hmm. on the kind of church you are, the size of church that you are, mm-hmm. the level of, you know, volunteers that is required to even do a service.
Yeah.
And so we're like, we're a smaller mid-sized church. So we can strip it down to the point where we can do it with just very, very few volunteers. And we can just do a simple service. It's under an hour, strip down worship, really short sermon. And we present it as a way to say, hey, if you want to come in and incorporate this into your, you know, into your Sunday, in your Christmas morning tradition, we're going to be open. We just feel from a convictional place, we just feel like we should do this. It's Sunday morning. We prioritize Sunday gatherings, and we should continue to prioritize it if it hits on a Sunday morning where Christmas falls.
Yeah.
And so that's just a convictional thing for us. I think where it's weird is when we start lobbing bombs on people who aren't doing that. And I would disagree with that. I don't want to condemn anybody for not doing it. I again trying to be understanding. I think it's something we should do our best to think through wisely. And if we can do it, I think it's a good idea, because I think the implications of it kind of lead us back into it being a good thing for us to do. But I also understand if different churches and pastors, and they have different complications that sort of get thrown into the mix for days like this. But I don't know. So people have been going back and forth, and some people are just so angry about it, angry about churches who are not doing it, you know, and I would not want to be in that camp. You know, I don't want to be angry at anybody for not doing it.
Dude, anyway. let me, and Pipe, you've been very patient. I want to get to you on this, but like, I have a bit of a departure for you, Ronald. What would make you angry? Like, what makes you mad? I'm just curious, just as a person.
Oh, dude, that's just too broad, man. I don't even know where to start.
You talk about how you don't get angry, and there's lots of people getting angry, but you're not one of them. Like, what would make you angry?
No, it's not that. No, it's like, I don't want to get mad about things of which there can be different thoughts and ideas and opinions, and you can't find a place in scripture that says you should do this or shouldn't do that. And we have freedom areas. So yeah. I'd rather not be the angry guy because I'm so gosh darn convictional on something that there's freedom in, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I'm angry half the day about things.
Really?
About
what? Like one thing. Just say one.
I don't know. Just like... behavior thing and people that do things that make my life uncomfortable, you know.
There
I don't know.
Yeah.
Personality
go.
Things.
Yeah.
Dogs. You know? So there you go. You know, I don't know.
I get the dog thing, I do.
Dogs make me incredibly angry. I don't know. Let's just roll with that.
Okay.
Roll with that.
Yeah, we'll go with dogs. Yeah, that's all I needed. I just wanted one thing. Pipe, where are you at on this Christmas morning Sunday issue?
I find it really amusing that there are people who have taken a really hard moral stance on it. You know, uh-huh. the sort of like it. I think I'm with both of you guys that, like, if you can do it, do it. I think,
yeah.
I think especially, you know, change up how you do it, strip it down a little bit. I suspect that's what Ronnie's doing. You know, like you just talked about, there's this sort of a simplified, stripped down, not high demand on all the volunteers and everything. But the people who are like, this is an ecclesiological, you know, necessity and blah, blah, blah. I don't know, man. It's like, it feels, you know, you're familiar with like Nine Marks, and they're yeah. so big on like ecclesiology and like, this is the way to do it.
Yeah.
And so much of what comes out of Nine Marks is so helpful. And then a few times you're like, and you guys went a step too far with this whole, like, this is it. This is yeah. the way.
Yeah.
That's what this feels like to me, is the, you're like, yeah, this is a good thing if you can do it. But if you're a church of 6,000 people and it requires more volunteers than attend my church to make your Sunday mornings go,
yeah,
it might not work, yeah. you know? Or maybe you have to be like, we're just gonna do a prayer service. And so, like, there's no kids ministry, there's no whatever. But I don't know. It's the anger about it is actually funny to me, just because I'm like, we're mad about Christmas morning? Like,
yeah.
If you're going to get mad about anything on Christmas, get mad at like Mariah Carey singing songs or something, but not this.
Yeah. Those songs are trash, aren't they? I've got a
well, I think too, though, hold on. I think like, it's a Pipe's point too. I think what complicates the whole thing is because everybody's doing Christmas Eve services the night before. So it feels like we're doing all these Christmas Eve services, and like 20 minutes later, after everybody slept for 91 seconds,
sure.
we're calling everybody back into church.
Yeah.
And so, like, from just a functionality standpoint, I totally get that. You know, it feels like a lot, you know?
All right, Pipe, I've got a follow up for you on a spiritual thing, and then a question for both you guys on a logistical thing. So, Pipe, the spiritual thing is, and you've been obviously in the cradle of Reformed churches your entire life.
quite literally.
And yeah, quite literally, dude. In the pantheon of like Reformed guy flexes, how much of a flex is it to be so like expositional that you don't deviate from whatever series you're on, even if it has nothing to do with Christmas?
Dude, that is so funny.
Where are you at on that, dude? Because I feel like that's a certain kind of Reformed flex.
Yeah. It absolutely is. And so, like, the there's gradations to this, because the first gradation is, we don't do Advent series, we just keep going. So, like,
yeah,
we're preaching through Nehemiah, and you know, we're in Nehemiah 6, and it's the third Sunday of Advent. And like, you guys know this, I am not a big Christmas guy, but I do find Advent series profoundly helpful because I'm not a Christmas guy. Like,
sure.
my heart doesn't switch over to being gleeful about Christmas. And so I have to work at it. And so a series walking into the incarnation of Christ, or how Christ helps us in our grief or our weariness or whatever, like just these sort of series of reflections. So the Reformed guy flex of, nope, we're in Leviticus, we're talking you know, we're talking priestly sacrificial laws, and it's you know, December 18th.
Yeah.
And that's one flex. So if on Christmas morning some guy gets up there and he keeps going in that series, I think that's an abdication of pastoral responsibility. I mean, it is a Reformed guy flex, but it's also like, oh, this isn't even Reformed culture. This is just like, you're out of touch. Maybe this is the same thing, but you're just out of touch with humanity. You have lost touch with anybody. Have you heard, I mean, are you aware of anybody who's doing that? Because I am aware of people who have skipped the Advent series.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm not aware of people who are going to get up on Christmas and be like, all right, open up your Bibles to, you know,
Leviticus
Ezekiel or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know of anybody doing that. That's really extreme, but I'm sure it exists.
I mean, I know of people. I don't think our church does an Advent series, but like Christmas kind of gets, I mean, it gets folded into whatever we're doing. So like they give it the old hat tip for sure. But yeah,
that's good. I'm glad Christmas gets a hat tip at your church.
Yeah, Christmas gets a little shout out. The incarnation gets a little shout out. You know,
you guys don't do. Yeah, you don't do a special series.
No, we don't. But our guys are really thoughtful and they plan it out. Like we're in one of the Gospels right now, and I mean it'll come up kind of organically. So I think our guys, the way they plan it, it always makes sense around Christmas. And I was half kidding about the hat tip. Like they give it more than a hat tip, but they also don't hit pause and just do like, you know, Christmas only for a month. I would say it's a happy medium between the two at our place.
I find the best Advent series not to be Christmas only, but just sort of a real Christological focus. So sort of
yes,
something
that's
that,
right.
And I realize that if you're a proper Reformed preacher, every sermon is about Jesus. Yes. But I mean, totally. Like the life of Jesus, the work of Jesus, the incarnation of Jesus, you know, so you're not just in Luke 2 or, you know, whatever, but you're not just preaching on the genealogy of Jesus or whatever it is, but you're
right.
There's just a focus on what is this thing that we are preparing to celebrate, which, you know, so for us, we're preaching through Ephesians right now, and we just stepped away from that for a month, and then we'll get back to it in January, which I'm really looking forward to because Ephesians is awesome. But
for sure.
To have that little pause is really helpful because the other thing is everything else in life is chaotic this time of year. So continuing in a sermon series just means half your church is missing a good chunk of your sermon series because they're all over the place.
Yeah.
At least that's where we are.
That's a good point. Boys, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll get back to the Art of Pastoring podcast. And I've got a decorative question and a logistical question. We'll be right back.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, boys, we're back. Big R, let's start with you. I want to know what both of your churches are doing decoratively vis-a-vis Christmas. I don't feel like our church does much. I feel like we put out that one, like, red flower, maybe a couple of planters of those. But I'm
are not, you saying a poinsettia big
deal? Yeah, I guess a poinsettia. Yeah, yeah, that little red deal. But I don't know that we're doing much more than that decoratively, but I want to know what you boys are doing. Big R, let's start with you. I'm guessing it's just a Christmas wonderland in your place.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, we got the big, like, you know, 12-foot tree center stage. We got wreaths coming down off the ceiling. We have a big tree that goes in the front window when people walk by. We have little mini trees that we stage all over the space.
Shoot, it's H. Priest. Pipe, his church is like that toy store in the Tom
it's
Hanks
F.A.O.
movie
Schwartz,
Big.
Man, is what
F.A.O.
It is.
Schwartz.
It's
yeah,
F.A.O.
thank
Schwartz.
You. Judas.
Yeah. Well,
welcome to
it is
F.A.O.
it is
that's
what
I
the toy
store introduced.
Yeah, it's what the toy store looks like after Elf goes nuts overnight, you know, after Buddy the Elf.
So, I wish it could look that amazing. Yes.
Hey, do you dress as Buddy the Elf for one of the services? Do we just go that far?
I just make sure my commitment this year as I was planning my Advent attire is that I would wear a Christmas sweater every Sunday morning.
Yeah. You know, every good pastor
Christmas
plans,
sweater every Sunday morning.
Plans their Advent attire.
Yeah.
Now, I thought we were going to get you into a pair of tights for Halloween with the Ashland football uniform. That didn't come to pass.
I know, it didn't happen. I was disappointed about that.
But the elf thing would be another way of getting you into tights. They would be green. But
I mean, if we were just to one of those big churches, I could probably do that.
I know, one of those big attractional churches, but... You know,
like fly in on the sleigh down over the top of the chairs and just kind of roll in with my bag and
hey,
pull
dude,
out a bunch
I'm glad
of
you mentioned
Bible,
that, man. Where you know? Are you at on like decorative sleighs? Like, how many years away are we from like, you know, and it'll be cocked at like a 45-degree angle on the stage there at your church, like a little decorative sleigh with some like, you know, planters of poinsettia and stuff in there. Where are you at on that?
I mean, there's no way there aren't some churches that do that, right? Like
right.
That has to be happening somewhere.
Like, I'm just seeing it in
but
my
then
mind.
Again, but you bring up all the controversy of Santa with that. But I would say that there's probably a lot of churches that have like, they've kind of moved past that. And Santa isn't, you know, Satan, you know, they're kind of okay with it. They've acclimated to Santa. He's not like the cultural, like demon that,
dude
that
I know we've talked
we
about
growing up.
You and I love talking about this, man, like stuff that was quote-unquote satanic in the 80s, which just kind of plays as like quaint and harmless now, like when everything in the culture is like truly satanic now, like, you know, oh that
like,
we could
we were
go,
worried about people playing their records backwards
instead
of forwards.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Like all that stuff where it was this couldn't be less relevant.
Exactly, you know? Pipe, what do you got?
Ronnie, I want you to submit an article. I want you to submit an article to the Gospel Coalition on Santa as a type of Christ and just see how it goes.
Dude,
just,
heads will explode over the
full other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
I cannot believe there hasn't been that article because Santa, he could be a type of Christ.
Oh,
that's going to get me canceled that right there. But I'm just saying, you know.
Pipe, where could he get that published? Like, we got to go down the kind of sliding scale of reputable Christian publications. If he made it, okay, stay with me here, Pipe, and I want to hear you on this. If he made it a certain kind of too long by 1,000 words, thinky, kind of academic source citations, I think he could get First Things to like take a swing at that. It'd have to be the right kind of tone. You know what I mean?
And there would have to be a certain amount of like Latin and German in there. So sort of like derivations of Santa throughout the ages and different cultures.
Very historical.
That could work.
Yeah.
The other option is completely other end of the spectrum, which is sort of a poetic and feely reflection that would go into,
that's more
a
his
couple
speed.
Different sort of, yeah, there's a couple different, Christian publications. They're like online magazines that are more for like memoir and poetry. And so there's a
shame
there's
I haven't
a place
seen
for it in there. I'm sure some of your students read them and write for them.
Yeah.
That would be the other place, except you wouldn't be able to use the phrase type of Christ as much as like, what would be the, it'd be like a, you know, dim reflection of, or
yeah,
something
yeah.
like
reflection
that,
of Christ.
You have to symbolize the language a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's good. Pipe, what about your church in decorative things?
We're not as all out as Substance, but then again, who is
short of FAO Schwartz?
FAO Schwartz or Gimbels?
Gimbels.
But we do. I mean, we have a bigger stage, just being the size of church we are. So we have a couple Christmas trees on like each edge of it. Mm-hmm. There are Christmas lights like around each of where the band members stand. So kind of on the floor. So like sort of just decorating the floor. And then there's some wreaths and stuff out in the lobby. And then we have a big blank brick wall in our lobby, which we use for displays of different kinds, you know, signage and whatever. Mm-hmm. And so right now there's sort of a holly and whatever, border on it with like a kind of a greenery background where people can do like Christmas family photos and stuff like that. So it's,
I mean, you have as much as we
out,
do.
You walk in, you go.
I was thinking that, baby.
You walk in, you're like, oh, it's definitely Christmas. Yeah. It feels Christmassy in there when you walk in. And it was like a turnover for first Sunday of Advent. You walk in, you're like, oh, it's definitely not last season anymore.
Yeah, big splash.
Now, when big it's splash, summer, yeah, when it's like July, sure. Do you have like a beach theme? Is there like a little sandy knoll in there that you truck in? Or like, are we doing that for every season?
Yeah, we have wave pools where you can like do personal surfing.
We have wave pools, yeah. Hey, it's not attractional.
No.
Exactly.
Yeah, Hawaiian shirts for all the pastors every Sunday of July. It's, you know, it's a given.
I love it. Boys, I got one last kind of Christmas related question regarding the Sunday morning service. This might be a little hot taking and controversial. I like it because of the logistical like pause and change of scenery that it provides during that day. And here's why. Christmas morning, especially with kids, you know, you're up early and everybody rips through their presents. And then you've got this long yawning expanse of day to fill where like by 7:45, all the stuff's over. And then you got a big meal coming a few hours later, but it's like, sometimes family's there and it's like, oh, how do we fill 15 hours with these people? I like the little pause of church, man. You're piling into the car, you're driving in, you're doing it, you're killing a couple hours and then you're back. I don't know. I just like that. Where are you guys at on that?
Baby, do you think, here's my question for you. Yeah. So this is like, depending on how old school you are.
Yeah.
Do you wish that regardless of whether it was Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, like whatever day Christmas falls on, do you think churches should just like do a service?
Oh, interesting. I've always kind of been a fan of a certain kind of Christmas Eve service. So like, not the way Reformedom does it necessarily, where it's a 2-hour marathon. But I enjoy a little Christmas Eve service, dude. I'm not going to lie. Okay. I enjoy lighting that little candle at the end. Seeing my friends, throwing the sweater on, like that's a nice time. So yeah, the Christmas morning thing, I haven't really thought about it, but I'm anticipating it this year, knowing that we're going to have some
sounds
family.
Sounds like you would love it.
I think I do.
Like
I think I'm
love
in.
It every year.
Yeah, I think I'm in. I think I would love it every year, baby, now that you mention it. And I've got no problem with that at all.
I mean, if it was like the 1800s, I just think that's what churches did every Christmas morning.
I think probably. Pipe, well, what were you going to say?
They still do that in England. Like the Anglican church does that. Yeah. Like Christmas services are a thing. When we were talking about it at our church, kind of how to handle it, Sam Albury, being of British persuasion, was like, this is just normal. Like a Christmas, and on whatever day it falls, not just Sunday. Yeah. So it's not just every 7 years. Like if Christmas is a Thursday, there's a Thursday Christmas service, which I can tell you as a pastor's kid, I would have hated with every ounce of my being. We had Thanksgiving services. I hated those. Christmas Eve services, I was generally okay with because we celebrated on Christmas. And it did have a very sort of, the Christmas Eve service has a unique celebratory feel.
It does. Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
And we did like a midnight candlelight one. So, I don't think they do anymore, but it was like, it would end at midnight. And so, so when you walked out, it's like -1,000 degrees and you're wishing everybody a Merry Christmas and driving home to sleep for a few hours before tearing into your gifts and opening your shepherd's pouches and whatever else. So it was a grand old time.
That is grand indeed, Pipe. And yeah, it's been a couple of years since I've thought about the shepherd's pouch situation for you. We could probably do a whole ep on that, to be honest. Here's the deal, boys. We've gone 25 minutes. I feel like we kind of covered it with this topic, unless you guys have anything else to add. And I'll just provide a moment of reflection and then a moment for you to add anything else that you need to add. And if there's nothing, then I'll just close the app. Okay? Baby, does that sound like a nice plan?
You keep talking about things to add for 5 minutes.
Exactly.
Without adding anything.
No, I know. We're not providing any real value at this point. So,
baby, I have nothing to add. I don't know what more we can say about it other than do a Christmas morning service or do not. Do a Christmas.
Oh, see, you. Here's what I don't like about that. All right. I liked earlier how you kind of had a take it was a different pivot for you. And I'm like, oh, the boy's got a little take here. He's got a little backbone here. I like this. But then you just ran it back, dude.
All right, let me try this. It is an outrage. It is verging on literally, like, I think, just giving up your faith.
There we go.
If you don't do a Christmas morning service.
There we go.
I mean, I think you're going to have to have a Monday morning prayer and repentance service if you don't do a Christmas morning service.
I love it. December 26th, sackcloth and ashes.
I like that. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. No,
correct. So that's great if you don't want to do Sunday morning, but that's what you got to do on Monday morning.
Sizzling hot, Pipe. Sizzling hot. I love it. Piper, anything else to add before I close?
I stand by Ronnie's accusations of apostasy and call for repentance on December 26th. So I'm firmly with him on that take. And we should all be as the Anglicans and ruin our Christmas mornings with church, no matter what day it is.
Hey, real quick on the Anglicans. Pipe, do the like American hipster Anglicans also do it, like whatever day it is?
Dude, yes.
Like, are the hipsters going to be doing that on a Tuesday in a couple of years? Like,
probably,
they're going in Tuesday morning.
Do it.
Yeah.
But since they're Americans, they probably show up in Santa hats and Christmas pajamas and stuff like that, as opposed to, like, you know, tweed and wool and appropriate, you know, church dress. So
yeah,
I'm sure they still have their robes on.
Yeah, our hipsters go pretty hard, man. They're robed up, I'm thinking. So, you know, Christmas morning, you might see a little pop of red on the robe, but I don't know. I'm thinking they're still robed up.
We're all going to be Anglican in a couple years anyway, so we're all going to be doing it. So.
Baby, I'm surprised you haven't dabbled in that, to be honest, because that's like the official brand of hipsters, you know?
I know, but it feels too over the top. I've been thinking about it.
Yeah, it is. I mean,
yeah, it feels like a strange pivot to me for, like, guys that are like, you know, I don't know, you know, that we should talk about that next week.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, the Anglican
we'll get
in
big trouble
pivot.
About over it. And we'll talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Give us some time to think about it for sure.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
I feel like I had another thing on that, but it was probably going to be offensive, so I'll keep it to myself. Boys, this way I can edit and not have to send the text to Pipe in 5 minutes. Boys, we've done what we always do on the program, in that we've wandered to and fro throughout some controversial hot takes that are bound to, like, get us scads more listeners and more money, ? I hope that all those things happen, and until next time.
We want to take a moment to thank the team at Life Audio for partnering with us on this podcast. Be sure to go to lifeaudio.com and take a look at the other podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
Hey there, it's Nicole Eunice from the How to Study the Bible podcast, and I'd love to invite you to join us as we weekly discover a passage of God's Word together. From beginning to end, from principles to practicals, we are here to make sure that God's Word is powerful and relevant to your life. If that sounds like something you're looking for, I would love to invite you to subscribe. You can go to lifeaudio.com and search How to Study the Bible, and we'll see you there.